Welcome to Better Health Guy Blogcasts, empowering your better health. And now, here's Scott, your Better Health Guy. The content of this show is for informational purposes only and is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any illness or medical condition. Nothing in today's discussion is meant to serve as medical advice or as information to facilitate self-treatment. As always, please discuss any potential health-related decisions with your own personal medical authority.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 111 of the Better Health Guy blogcast series. Today's guest is Dr. Dan Kinderlehrer, and the topic of the show is disulfiram. Dr. Dan Kinderlehrer is a nationally recognized physician with expertise in the fields of nutrition, allergy, environmental medicine, Lyme disease, and the healing of mind, body, spirit as a unified whole. Dr. Kinderlehrer co-founded the New England Center for Holistic Medicine in Newbury, Massachusetts, and has taught extensively, including practitioner training courses at the Omega Institute, the National Institute of Behavioral Medicine, and the International Lyme and Associated Diseases Society. He created and organized the Lyme Fundamentals course, which is presented annually at the International Lyme and Associated Diseases Conferences. He is the author of several review articles in medical journals and the Lyme Times. His integrative medical practice in Denver, Colorado, focuses on the diagnosis and treatment of tick-borne diseases. Dr. Kinderlehrer is the author of Recovery from Lyme, the Integrative Medicine Guide to the Diagnosis and Treatment of Tick-Borne Illness, which will be released in 2020. And now my interview with Dr. Dan Kinderlehrer. I want to be clear that my intent in doing this show is really not to promote the use of disulfiram, but rather to share information about this potentially exciting new therapy so that you, the listener, can have a dialogue with your doctor about whether or not this may be something that may be helpful for you. It is a hopeful time, and disulfiram represents a very exciting new opportunity, but that does not mean that it's right for everyone or that it's without potential side effects. Dr. Dan Kinderlehrer has been practicing medicine for over four decades and one of the early practitioners with a focus on helping those with Lyme disease. Very honored to have him on the show to share his knowledge of disulfiram with us today. Thanks so much for being here today.
You're very welcome.
So let's talk about how you personally became interested in Lyme disease, the work that you do today with your patients. Did you have your own personal health journey with Lyme disease that gave you the passion you have for the work you do today? And have you had any personal experience with disulfiram?
1996, I became acutely ill, one August. Basically, the sudden onset of high fever, shaking chills, night sweats. And that led to a diagnosis of Lyme. Within a few weeks, we figured out it was Lyme. But we had no idea that I had Babesia, which was barely on the radar at that time. So even though I was on prolonged antibiotics, I continued to be ill. And that led to my interest in Lyme disease when I finally got better from that, which was really quite prolonged because at one point I was reinfected and had Bartonella as well. I decided to dedicate my practice to treating people with tick-borne infections because it was clear that the internists, the infectious disease people, had no idea what was happening. One of the things that I would tell patients is, you know, 10 years ago, now this would go back 20 years, right? 10 years ago, if you went to the infectious disease doctor and said, I think I have chronic fatigue syndrome, they'd say, look, there's no such thing as chronic fatigue syndrome. You're depressed. And they'd send you to a psychiatrist. Then patients would go to the infectious disease doctor and say, I think I have chronic Lyme. And they'd say, there's no such thing as chronic Lyme. You have chronic fatigue syndrome. Times have changed, right?
Yeah.
But back then, most of us who were involved with diagnosing, treating people with chronic tick-borne illness, we ourselves or a family member were involved, were sick. I lived in Massachusetts, and all three of my daughters got Lyme disease. My ex-wife got Lyme disease. This was a really common occurrence even, you know, well, definitely over the past two decades. So that's how I became interested in Lyme disease. Now, I had a really strong background. I mean, first of all, I'm boarded in internal medicine, but I never practiced as an internist per se. I was always interested in looking at people from a more holistic viewpoint. And back then, they in fact called us holistic doctors. As you know, the nomenclature has changed. But because of that interest in preventive medicine and nutrition, I started seeing people with all sorts of environmental sensitivities. And I became an expert in environmental medicine. And also looking at the psychological and spiritual aspects of why we get sick and how we can heal. These are all things that I've studied quite rigorously before I got Lyme disease.
So in your own recovery journey, has disulfiram been a tool that you've personally used, or were you already largely recovered before we stumbled into the benefits of disulfiram?
I would say that compared to how sick I was at my worst, I'm 90%. I'm really good. And of course, it's hard to compare because I'm also 20 years older than I was when I became ill. So I'm doing well. I'm happy to describe that. But I have tried disulfiram. And you might want to get into this later, but I was doing quite well until I became toxic on what turned out to be too high a dose of disulfiram. And I had firsthand information on disulfiram and neuropathic toxicity. So I've learned a lot about disulfiram. I'm glad I was the first one of my patient population to have that experience, because now I can recognize it readily among my patients.
Absolutely. So my understanding is that disulfiram in the realm of Lyme disease was first really talked about or identified by Dr. Jaikumar Rajadas at Stanford about almost 5 years ago in 2015 now. That was through work supported by the Bay Area Lyme Foundation. I believe there's additional work happening at Northeastern with Dr. Kim Lewis, trying to continue to find tools to support those of us that have dealt with or are dealing with Lyme disease. Do you think that we're at a point now with research and with some of these tools that there is really the potential to completely change the game and have more hope and optimism in terms of being able to get patients their lives back?
As far as I'm concerned, the game has changed. I mean, as you've pointed out, I've been practicing with a practice dedicated to tick-borne illness for about 20 years, and slowly, expanding the umbrella of what we can use to treat, but also expanding our awareness of the comorbidities and so on. So, you know, we've just learned a lot. On the other hand, since I've started using disulfiram, my practice has changed. It's been a game changer, for sure.
My understanding is that a patient of Dr. Ken Ligner first approached him wanting to use disulfiram for his own Lyme disease. Dr. Ligner later documented 3 cases with very promising results. How did you first get interested in disulfiram? How long have you used it in your practice? About how many patients do you have on it? And what are some of your observations in terms of its potential?
Well, when Ken started describing his experience with disulfiram in the iLabs email listserv, that's when I became aware of it. And so sometime in early 2019, I had long discussions with Ken. Ken, whom I really respect as someone who rigorously looks at the literature, is very safety conscious, careful. And he told me the story in that first patient that you referenced. It has been 2.5 years now since he has been asymptomatic and off all treatment. And he had been 8 to 9 years on triple antimicrobial therapy, in which he couldn't stop because he would always relapse.